about 35th in Nebraska. 34th in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Because the streets run this way. The 34th.
Do you know when the police arrested Cameron? Or did you hear?
No. I don't know when they arrested any of the other boys. The only one that I knew that they got was Ship, because if the car come here, the rest of the boys, they live that way and this way, and they live too far for me to know when they got them, or they probably got them all the same night, I imagine.
There was another boy that they arrested the same night with the name of Bob Sullivan, Robert Sullivan. Did you know him?
I didn't know him. I might have not at that time knew of him, but I don't think he was ever around much. I didn't know that Sullivan. I didn't know anything at all about Sullivan. I don't think they even down put him in jail, did they?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
I didn't know him.
Yeah, Spud's been in Annapolis ever since.
Yeah, Spud was in there at that time, and they thought they had the wrong boy. They almost took him out.
Spud,
after that deal was all over, and Spud got out of here and he left, marrying for good.
Yeah, they worked in Circle Tower, Bobby, right on the circle.
Yeah, Spud never come back here. But that was the fault of our sheriff. This didn't have to happen. Marion was a good time, but this has been a black mark on Marion ever since that's happened.
It seemed like it didn't get us up
together. Henry, I was a young boy, and of course, back before my time, I remember all the old timers. The progress in Marion has never been the same. All right, you pick up your paper.
We got a big
sign out here. Marion the city on the move. Where we move? We're moving backwards. Marion is going backwards.
Biggest thing ever hit here is a yellow.
Yeah.
But the
rest of it right now, they still don't let nothing else in here. All the other cities are taking.
Remember when Ford got
Muncie, they got a lot more industries. They got a lot more things. Kokomo. Look at all the towns built. What are we doing? We standing still. If somebody talks about coming in, of course, nobody wants to come in here now. Who wants to come in here? That thing that happened, that killed Mary.
At one time, out here, the Pennsylvania Railroad was in Ford. There was a big brickyard that used to be out there, right in between two railroads, sitting right in between them. Ford, a lot of those companies tried to get in now. The Elmont and those guys wouldn't let them in. This town was in.
Where'd you used to play ball?
All over.
Played all over.
All over.
And I was crippling a leg too, Larry, topped off. And here they tell you, I played with all of them. Yeah, I played with all of
them. Where did you play here? Where was the diamond that you played? North?
Well, we first started out 12th and Western. And then we had a diamond out here when I was a small kid, what you call the Hoosier Pirate Diamond. Then we ended up from 12th and Western.
On the racetrack.
And we played out the racetrack, then we played down behind the Anaconda and out to Martyrs Park.
Would teams come in from other cities, other black teams come in and play?
Oh yeah, we had black and white. Yeah.
Circus John was going to be there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we played semi-pro ball.
What was the name of your team?
At the last, I was playing with the Manhattan AC. Do you know Cleo Beck? Was a policeman here? I pitched ball to him.
Yeah. Did Muncie have a team?
Oh, yeah.
What was the name?
What was the name of that? Muncie had a good team. Muncie always had a good team.
Oh yeah. But that used to be a big thing.
Yeah. Muncie always had a good team.
Well, now tell me about
Toledo everywhere.
Tell me about this diamond at 12th and Western. Would that be the one where they didn't normally play, or?
Yeah.
That was a hot diamond.
That was old 12th and Western.
Now when would
the Marion Malbo first started playing there, Frank Weaver had. Yeah. Then as it come along and they kind of got out from Marion Malbo and they had what you call semi-pro team, we called ourselves different names or different ones because all the same guys wasn't there. Now my brother played for the Marion Malbo.
Yeah. Well, the team you played on, was it all black guys or there some blacks and whites?
No, it was all black. All black.
And that was the one called the Manhattan
AC. And then We would play by Gas City over here, and then there was another team. There was a white team out here that called the Marion Boosters. They had a tough team.
Now tell me about the, when would you play those games? Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon.
On the hell of a crowd.
They have bleachers there?
Yeah, they had a regular grandstand at 12 West.
How many people would a seat? Do you have any idea?
It was a big deal.
I don't know how many would that be?
They had umpire people come from here.
I expect, no kidding, I don't know. Now, back in them days, we figured that at least 700-800 people was a lot of people.
They have a concession stand?
Concession stand.
Did the bleachers go around behind the backstop, or were they just along the side all the way around?
Bleachers went around behind the
backstop. They had umpire and call.
Then you see out here at the racetrack, naturally you had it there because they had all that big racetrack where they raced, and the bleachers would, the ballpark was set in there to where it faced behind in the grandstand. And then, now down to Anaconda was the worst place that we played at. They had bleachers, but they were open bleachers. No roof over the top of it.
The one at 12th had a bleachers?
It was a tough one.
What did you like to pitch? What was your favorite pitch?
My favorite pitch was my slider. I used to, now, you hear him talk about, you hear him talk about the slider, and a lot of people tell you, I just come in, I threw that slider years ago.
That's what Will's
favorite pitch was, and he'd do it in verbiage. He'd throw you that out drop, and the minute he turned that ball loose, he'd start running for the dugout.
Yeah,
and he didn't know whether the umpire going to call a strike or not, but it'd be in there, but he would do that in there.
What would he throw?
An out drop. He'd come over and he'd get up there and then make a dip just like that. And it's coming in across that pan. You might as well get ready to swing at it.
Yeah.
If that's the last strike, if you stand and look at it, umpire going to call you out,
Do you ever, you ever wet the ball up?
No, I never throw the spitball. No.
We used to be over and watch them play. We'd play before they get, sometimes we'd get out there and mess around with them, you know. But when I found out that I was going to get to the big leagues, I used to play every day. And I just dreamed old Gabby Hartman and those guys, you know, Roger Hartman,
Either one of you recollect the Muncie team's name?
It used
to be a Monarchs team, but I can't
remember. It was a Monarch. The Muncie Monarchs?
Yeah.
I forget what their last team that they had over there. But there was a little bitty boy over there. A little bitty colored boy over there. I forget what he was called.
Yeah, but they won the fight all the time, didn't they?
They didn't fight so much. Yeah. The last team we played. That was called Muncie Stonewall.
Yeah.
And I forget that boy, he was a little bitty pitcher. Man, they tie me and him up every time we bat. Oh, man. Ralph, what was that? Kersey or something? Yeah, Ralph Kersey. He'd tie us up, boy, and let me and Ralph would battle a man. I don't mean go out and fight each other, I mean throwing them balls in there.
He had a brother.
Yeah.
They should have been big.
Yeah, Marshall would go
see
get a ball.
Go a mile, a country mile, get a ball.
I think Gene, his son, was in school with me. He was a hell of a basketball player.
But they had an umpire here that people used to enjoy. She's just right.
He was just as tough as any of them umpires you see up there. When he told you, she was just right. No one would say nothing.
Just right, umpire.
He never was going to take it back.
Bill Britton.
And you stand there and look at that ball coming in and it break across that bed. Ooh, she's just right. And the crowd loved that. He was the biggest draw, of course, your umpire.
Yeah.
It's as much as your ball team. If you got a good one, see.
Yeah.
And then you got a good ball team. Oh, they
Do you have uniforms? What color were they?
Oh, they were thicker than
I think it was black and white with black stripes.
Yeah, then y'all had some with a gray with a little blue stripe.
Yeah.
Pinstripe.
Then I had a team after I left here and went to Michigan, and I come back home, and I had a team down here called the Marion Flashers. Believe me when I tell you, you know, everybody wants to brag how good he done something. I had a ball team. I had a ball team. The first thing I taught them kids was self-respect. And what I mean by self-respect, you had a manager. They had to respect me. But on the other hand, if you couldn't protect that ball suit, get out of it, give it to me, and I'll get a kid this high. I'll teach him to play ball. See, when I first started that, Larry, I lost about half that team because they'd been playing softball.
Sure.
And my uncle and them had softball too, see? Yeah. And they was losing and it was going in the hole and they come back in class. Well, I don't care for a softball team. No, I said, I want a baseball team. But I finished out that year with them softball. The next year I changed to baseball and I lost about half of it. But did you know I beat every man back? They come back begging and crying.
Them when they days, seen you didn't I was have going, the kids out stealing.
No. We had some, even down to Marion High School, using my own field. We didn't have no money. And another thing, I didn't know how the interracial part would mix. You see, yeah, most boys can get along. See, I don't think we'd have had any trouble otherwise. But at that time, it wasn't happening too much in the big leagues. And you just didn't know which way to go. But I had a lot of them boys to come over there and want to play because, well, I said they got a million boosters. I want you boys to go over there. You'll be surprised.
Let me go back just a minute. What's your birthday, huh?
I was born in 1911.
1911. When did you get married?
Oh, I got married.
Fisherman.
I got married in Michigan and I don't remember. My wife died around in the 40s somewhere. I can't tell you exactly when it was. And I went to look for my married license here the other day and I think they've got
no, that's not all important. Let me ask you a question. How they call you Slew?
Yeah.
How'd you get that?
Well, you got a little foot. See, when these toes sit on top of this, and I walk Slew foot.
Slew foot.
And I limp. See, and then I've had all kinds of names too.
Well, what's your full name, Don?
Donald Stewart or Don Lotto Stewart is my name. Yeah.
Don Lotto Stewart.
Yeah. OTTO.
But everybody always called you Slew.
Yeah.
Of course, when you were pitching, that was great. Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You like that?
And then by when I said my last piece over there when I graduated from the eighth grade, and I spoke a piece, Holy Smoke, the preacher shouted in the rain, he lost his hair, and a whole lot more to it, something else. And then they begin to call me Holy Joe from then on.
Holy Joe. Huh?
Holy Joe and Slew. Holy. That's all you could hear. Never be able to work. Never be able to have a family because they take care of
me. You fell on a high chair when you
were
2?
Yeah, when I was about 2 years old.
Yeah,
and
that's how you got it, huh?
And I ain't got no calves hardly in them babies at all. And my mother, she was busy, and she used to whip me. She'd tear me up, they tell me. But I would climb, invariably. And I'd come up in this high chair, and she didn't know it. And I toppled over backwards. And when I fell, that was it. I guess I had to wait for 6 or 7 months. Didn't move, didn't do nothing. And of course, this foot here is not as bad. But you'd be surprised. You see how them toes are? And they've been that way. I played ball. I could get up that mound and turn on that bad foot. Henry can tell you, them two men, I work with them every day, love them great big old molds, melted arms.
Right-hander?
Yeah, I was a right-hander. Yeah. I'd stick that crippled foot out and land on that crippled foot, and I could throw a ball pretty hard. And I molded.
You molded in the family, carried on everything.
Everything, Larry. I don't care. And I walked and won after my mother died, and I said, if my mother could see me, she said, it never worked. Going on 66 years old, and still yet work. Just come, you see how dirty I am. Yeah, man, I ain't ashamed to tell it. A lot of people make more money than me, but an old man, I get $270 every week. I go for 40 hours. I ain't gonna say a word.
Right.
I ain't gonna say a word.
Kids that come out of college is not
Well, I do. Of course, that skill trade. I went out there and I learned the trade. Of course, I learned 4 or 5 trades. Now, I don't get on with that.
Glad you come out of
that. This will be all right. Man. Talk to us, just.
Mrs.
It'll pick you up all right.
Can I get a drink of water?
What I've been doing.
We've been out painting.
I've been trying to maybe write a book about this lynching thing. Been working on it for, quite a while. Of course, that's almost 50 years ago, see? So a lot of folks are gone. And got all the newspapers and everything and been sifting it through. And I just kind of wanted to see what you knew about it, if anything, any pieces that you could put together, just to refresh your memory a little bit. We're talking about the 6th, 7th, and 8th day of August, which was a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the summer of 1930.
That's right.
And the thing started on Wednesday night in a robbery and an assault out on the River Road.
Yeah.
Familiar with all that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, why don't you just tell me what you know about it?
Peter, and the girl's name was, I know her name. Well,
Mary Ball.
Yeah, that's right.
Mary Ball.
Yep. And the next, during the day there, the next day rather, after the episode, I was working the east side of the square. That was a district that I was working in Bert Owens' relief. He was the officer on the beat, but he's on vacation and I was on relief, see, for him. And during the evening hours there, during the afternoon rather, I heard this and heard that, and I thought, well, it's all hogwash, see, and Billy Connors and different ones. Billy was the manager of the Indiana Theater at the time, and
oh, thank you.
Who was it there?
Let's just sit there right here. I don't want that to take the chance getting that on
you. No, this
that's
is
better
all right.
Than
yeah.
That was telling me that, I believe there's going to be trouble tonight. So I was relieved at 6 o'clock. That was my hour off. That evening, the wife and I went down to the Legion in the back there. They had a miniature golf course. And we played around there a while, and just for curiosity, I was in my own car, and I was off duty, see. I drove up around town by the jail. I didn't see nothing unusual, see. So I said, well, that was all baloney about going to get these fellows. But the night previous to that, the day previous to that, I arrested a fellow.
Cameron.
No.
Spud?
No. They sent him up for rape.
Yeah, Spud's Bernal. William Bernal. Black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's down in the
Spud's.
Spud.
No, he's dead now, this fellow that I'm talking about.
I think he
he's quite a fellow around town here, and so I put him in jail. So at the time that they went in the jail after these fellows, he had a nickname. You know him as well.
Spuds.
Spuds.
Spuds Bernal.
All right, we'll call him.
The reason I know he's still alive, I just talked to him down in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he's been gone ever since.
Well, I was told after he got out of Michigan City. He went down in Alabama somewhere in the south and he got killed.
Yeah, down in Annapolis, been ever since.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah,
see?
He said that.
And
well, he remembers you arresting him anyway.
Yeah. All right.
But it's where
he so he told these fellows that broke in the jail that I didn't have nothing to do with it, that Roy Cox put me in jail for another charge. And they wouldn't take that for an answer. He says, call him up. You probably can get him either at police headquarters or home. So they didn't take that for an answer. So they took him out with the other three. So at about 5 o'clock the next morning, I was to go in at 6 o'clock, and Tony Hennigan, the sergeant, called me up and said, get up here as fast as you can. I said, why, did something happen? He said, yes, it happened. And he says, get up here and you work traffic at 3rd and Adams Street. See, that's right between the jail and the courthouse. So I went up there, and of course, it was a mammoth crowd to come in the city there. The news spread quickly, and I was. I tell you, there's a fellow that I know, and Henry knows him well, Jackson, down in Johnstown.
Yeah.
He was all over drunk in the afternoon there. He commences, well, that place was crowded with people, and he started right through that crowd. I saw him, and I went over and grabbed him. I said, come on, you're going with me. So I took him and put him in jail. And boy, he almost turned white when he saw how that jail door was wrecked, see, because he knew all about it. So anyway, I told him, I'm getting you out of trouble because you, the friends of the crowd around there, why, they'd have mobbed him.
What was his first name, do you know?
Well, it wasn't Clayton, was it?
Huh?
Clayton
Jackson?
Clayton?
Was it Clayton? There was a Clayton Jackson, and probably it was him then.
That was the one who did all the drinking.
Well, that was Clayton then. I know it was Jackson.
He's a black guy?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, what? John Aaron. John Aaron.
He was younger than Clayton.
Yeah, John Aaron. Plastered around town.
Yeah.
Plastered. John Aaron.
Anyway, he lived down there on 2nd Street.
Yes, so he did. You remember Butch Churchill and all of them down there? Danny Burden and all of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I took him and put him in jail. And so that night, Jack Edwards, the mayor at that time, called me up there. He saw me before I went home there, and he said, come back up. After a while, we had the armored car, see, at the time. And so we rode around, you know, where the different ones congregating there, and in order to keep watch, nothing happened again, see. So that was about the extent of my dealings with it outside of. I was over to Anderson there when one of those boys was tried. I forget his name now.
Were you ever witnessed before the grand jury in this case?
Nope.
Did you appear before the Board of Inquiry? Nope. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to the Wednesday, August the 6th. This shooting took place out on the River Road.
Yeah.
Fairly late at night. Were you on duty or off duty? You remember?
No, I was off duty.
Okay, when did
because
you?
Well, that's when I. The next night, I was working days, see, and on this vacation. And so I was off duty the night it happened, see.
Now, I'm talking about the shooting out on the river with the Dieter boy.
I wasn't out there.
Okay, you were off duty that night.
I was off duty.
Now, when did you hear about that shooting? You remember? The next morning?
Next morning at 5 o'clock, Tony Hennigan called me up and said, get up here as fast as you can.
Now, who was Tony Hennigan?
He's a sergeant of police.
Sergeant of police.
Yeah.
And about 5 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
And what did you do when you went up there?
When
you got to the station?
When I got to the station there, of course, I went right up to 3rd and Adams Street and started working traffic.
Okay, now we're talking about two separate events, right? On Wednesday night, there was a shooting out on the River Road,
yeah.
And these three black fellas allegedly shot the Dieter boy.
Yeah.
Then the next night was the lynching. See, there are 3 days in there. And I'm trying to get that clear. You went up to clear traffic of people who were coming in to see what had gone on, right?
Yeah, after the
So
lynching.
That would have been on Friday.
Well, that was after the lynching.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to go back to the Wednesday, and you were off duty that night.
Yeah.
And then when did you hear about the shooting that the Dieter boy had been shot? That would have been Thursday morning before the lynching. Do you remember?
Well, it was on the day I had to come up and work traffic. You say it was Friday, possible Friday then.
Okay.
After the lynching, so either the next morning or after the lynching.
Okay. What I'm trying to find out is when you heard about the shooting where the black kids shot Claude Dieter. That happened on Wednesday night.
Well, yeah.
And then they put them in jail that night, and then the next day they were in jail,
yeah.
And then Thursday night they took them out and lynched them.
That's right.
So what I'm trying to find out is not about the lynching right now. I'm trying to find out when you heard and where you were about the shooting when Dieter was killed.
5 o'clock the next morning.
Next morning, okay.
That's when Tony called and I said, why, did anything happen? He said, yes, it happened. So he says, I need you right away, so get up here. So I hustled and went up and went to work.
Were you downtown at any time the night before, or do you have any idea this lynching was taking
yep,
place?
Yep. I related there that I heard talk all afternoon, see, and different ones of the business people up there, Billy Connors and a bunch of them, talking it over there, and I just thought, well, it's not anything like that. It's not going to happen. And so then, for curiosity reason, I drove by there, the jail, that night, and nothing unusual, see? It's just like any other night.
That's when you and your wife had been at the Legion Hall?
Yeah. And I went home, went to bed. I didn't know anything about till the next morning.
At 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
Okay. And then were you on duty all that day?
All that day.
At 3rd and Adams?
At 3rd and Adams, and that evening the mayor and I rode at night there until about midnight, see, and we see any gathering, and, you know, might cause disturbance or something, and we was on the lookout for it.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Do you have the armored car?
Yep.
Did you stop and talk to people?
Oh, yeah. Jack was very popular with everybody.